Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
In this audio cast number 19, I'm going to discuss a very difficult topic, the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. It is uncomfortable, but I hope you're willing to
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week, our original program will actually be postponed until next week. And why? In light of all of the news hitting Cardinal McCarrick and resigning, and of course, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, accepting the resignation of Cardinal McCarrick in the light of the sexual abuse scandals, I wanted to at least offer something to our listeners. So instead of a normal episode where I'll be interviewing somebody who is different from my experience, I wanted to actually interview a few different priests and different members of clergy from different religions. And they all declined. They didn't want to get into this discussion. So I'm going to do something a little different. Why? It's my show, and I can do whatever I want to do with it. I'm going to actually share some thoughts on what we need to do to better understand this horrible news and this horrible situation of the Catholic Church, not just with the pedophile scandal, but even the pederasty, the ephebiophile, the abuse that happens even in church hierarchy, because they are human and they are just as prone, if not even more susceptible, to temptation and struggles being in the position of authority. So I'm actually just going to share with you and break down and hopefully give some perspective. I'm not going to try to give answers to all of this. We know that it is wrong, and we know that justice must be served. So that's the easy answer. But what I hope to do is give some perspective, and I'll be honest, when talking about it with a few other people, some of them said, nah, Leo, you really just need to stick to what you do. Talk about food. And if that's all you all think that I talk about is just food, then you're missing the whole point of my plating grace and the whole Shoot the Shiitake show and the whole movement that I'm trying to create. I'm trying to create opportunities for conversation so that we can have a turning toward each other, and that's called a conversion. And the fact is, I speak on issues of chastity and modesty and sexual discipline, as well as trying to better understand sexual desires. In understanding the food, we realize that what we're doing is just giving into what? Indulgence and an appetite for human intimacy, even if it is distorted and disordered, which becomes basically the idea of sexuality becoming sinful. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit more about this situation that the church has found itself in once again, hopefully to put some perspective on what happened. And then in the second part of the show, I'm going to talk about what we need to do. And then in the carry out order, I'm going to share with you my experiences as a priest as to what I need to do better, not only just in my life, but in my church and in my world around me. So stick around for more Shoot the Shiitake with a difficult discussion. I'll be very honest with you, and it'll be just me talking, but I hope you'll be willing to listen and get something out of this unique, difficult show topic when we return in just a moment. I want to thank all of our sponsors who contribute to the Shoot the Shiitake Show and the Plating Grace Movement, which also supports thetablefoundation.org, which seeks to harvest the power of food to do good. And this year we've got great things happening, including the Olive Mass, which will be held on October the 29th, 2018. More details to follow on how you, especially in the Baltimore, Maryland metro area, can come to celebrate food while blessing the hands that make it and serve it. It is an opportunity to recognize everyone in the hospitality, food, and beverage industry for what you do to help build a more beautiful and celebratory society. To learn more, go to thetablefoundation.org. And welcome back to this unique Shoot the Shiitake show with me, Father Leo. And while I would normally interview a guest who might have different experiences from me, what I need to do is respond to the ton of emails that I got from people who were just asking, what do we do in light of the clergy abuse scandal? A very, very difficult topic. But what we need to do is, first of all, understand the facts as much as we have it in the news. And in this case, folks, while there are tons of things that are not only misleading and very salacious reporting and inappropriate to just put out there, it is still very important, and I'd even say necessary, to try to get to the facts. And so we know that facts always have two sides to the story. There is the story of the victim and the story of the alleged abuser. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. The fact is, there has been abuse in the Catholic Church. I've experienced working with priests who have actually abused people as well, children as well. And it is disgusting. So I'm just going to put it out there right now that this is a scar on the Catholic Church that we cannot hide, but something we need to learn from. That is all there is to it. There is no place in the Catholic Church's teachings that talk about how abuse is to be excused. It should be punished to the full extent of the law. In this case with Cardinal McCarrick, because I don't want to bring up all of those past things, because we as a church kind of do that enough. I mean, in order to even become a priest or to even to become a volunteer in the Catholic Church these days, there is a hypersensitive, extensive background check that kind of, you know, some people think is invasive or invading my privacy. But in the Catholic Church now, just to be a volunteer, you have to go through a rigmarole of paperwork just to prove that you are not going to be a threat. But unfortunately, we just have to know that the facts of the Cardinal McCarrick case, that there was abuse apparently over 45 years ago with a young man, when he was a parish priest. And then he rose to the level of bishop, archbishop, and then cardinal. And I guess what's very frustrating for people is that he kind of spoke out against sex abuse you know, in amongst the clergy, yet he himself had committed something. He says that he did not recall any of it. And frankly, I have no idea. The man is like 87 years old or something like that. So I don't know what he knows. And it's a little above my pay grade. But I do know that bad things happened. And not just happened in the Catholic Church. It happens in every sector of society. So please, when I go through these myths, I am not in any way excusing anything. In fact, the first thing that I want to just be 100% clear about is that everyone is afraid to talk about this in a way that's going to be helpful. Some people talk about it just simply to destroy the church and to try to attack the central figures of a church's authority. You know, like in a diocese, it would be a bishop or an archbishop. And so if we can tear that person out of office, then in a way, we're kind of diminishing the foundation of the church. There'll be some people who do that. I do not think, nor do I believe in my heart, that the victims who came out to speak out and just to kind of say, hashtag me too, I was abused by people in authority, I don't think they're doing that to destroy the church. I know they're not. I think they're doing it because they need to almost make a confession, and they're doing it in order to help purify the church. So to all of those victims of abuse, including some of whom are my brother priests, and you know, men who could have been my priest but left the church or left seminary formation because of the abuse, I thank you, I'm praying for you, and I encourage you to do what you are doing, and that is to speak out. It is very difficult for anyone who's experienced this to just even share the abuse. I'm just going to share this with you now. When I was a young priest, I was in a church working at a different kind of situation where I was hearing confessions of young people. And there were unfortunately a lot of craziness that occurred when I was a young priest in the 2000s. I was ordained in 1999. And when I tell this story, I just want to make sure that I kind of put a bubble around it. I don't want anyone to freak out in any way or to think that there was in other words, the situation was handled, and here's the situation. I was hearing confessions for a group of young people, men and women, young students, who have never had confession in a normal way. And you know, the normal way to go to confession is you go to the priest, and you could either go behind the screen or go face to face. And folks, I hear confessions around the country and around the world. So hearing confessions is not a big deal. It is a great privilege, but it is not, you know, a big deal. And there'd be many times when young people don't know how to go to confession. In this case, there was almost like this protocol not to go to confession in the normal way, where they would just simply write down their sins and you would give it to the priest, and the priest was simply supposed to take that piece of paper and burn it as a way to say, hey, your sins are forgiven. Listen, I get the symbology of it, but that doesn't make it illicit or a legal confession. It's valid, certainly, and I know that God's mercy is beyond the rites and the ritual. But this was a place where young people just didn't even know how to go to confession. So you know what? They wanted to try to go to confession in a normal way, and they just didn't know how to do it. If you weren't taught how to go to confession, guess what? You're not going to know. So I helped them with it. I taught them how to say, blessed be Father, for I have sinned. You know, and I asked them when their last confession was, and you know, they couldn't even recall that because they didn't really go to confession in the quote-unquote normal way. And so they said that they didn't know what to confess. And so I just went through the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, there are the sixth and the ninth commandments that deal with sexual activity outside of a marriage. And therefore, any type of sexual activity, whether it's done with yourself or with a committed girlfriend or a boyfriend or if by looking at pornography, these things, which a lot of the people in the world think, oh, the Catholic Church is just so backwards in all of this, it is considered a sin. Why? Because sexuality is geared towards two great noble vocations. Unity, to bring a couple in unity together. I mean, that's literally a physical act, but it also shows a sign of commitment. That is why sexual activity outside of a marriage almost destroys the unity. That's why a lot of people actually get separated and divorce. And I know that these teachings may seem archaic to a lot of people, but sexuality does bring about a unity, a level of commitment, which is why if you are having a sexual activity with someone other than your spouse, you're kind of threatening the unity that you have with your spouse because of that sexual act. The other purpose, which is a noble calling, is the conjugal activity to lead to procreation. So the bringing forth of children. So any sexual activity outside of marriage is generally against raising children. And that's why a lot of people use quote unquote protection when they are engaged in a sexual act outside of marriage because they don't want children. Yet we know that that is how children are made. And in this world where sexual activity is just whatever you want it to be, whether with someone of the same sex, of many people of different sexual experiences, or even non-human creatures. Listen, folks, it is across the board a very difficult topic to discuss. But back to my story. When I got to the point where I was hearing these confessions on these children, for these young people, they weren't even children, they were obviously a little older in high school age. They didn't know how to go to confession, so I helped them with all of it. You know, from did you use God's name in vain? Did you use any type of black magic, witchcraft, things that are not consistent with professing that Jesus is God? And so you go through all the Ten Commandments, from laziness to stealing to disrespect to gossip, all of it. And in that are also sexual questions. Again, have you committed a sexual act outside of marriage? And, you know, unfortunately, many young people do. Well, guess what? Some of the young people went back to their religion teacher and asked, hey, are Catholic priests supposed to talk about sex in the confessional? And this particularly unique perspective teacher that doesn't necessarily agree with the sacrament of confession as we as the church understands it, he actually, quote unquote, reported me for being inappropriate in my questions. And that created a stink and a stir. And you know what? The John Jay report that talked about the clergy abuse scandal in the early 2000s had just come out, and I was livid because I didn't do anything wrong. So you know what I did? I talked about it. I wrote letters. I basically said that I did not do anything inappropriate whatsoever, and I didn't. Thankfully, I've been a priest in good standing since my ordination in 1999, and I hear confessions around the country and around the world. But what happened was I brought something up that these young people had never been exposed to. And what is that? The authentic, beautiful teachings of the Catholic Church in regards to human sexuality. And it was a little bit of a shocker for them. But what's really interesting is that so many of those kids actually came back to want to talk a little bit more about the authentic teachings of the Catholic Church, more so than they got from their religion class, which was just not very good at all. I mean, look, we need to talk about it. And the reason why I'm bringing this up in light of the clergy abuse scandal is that we aren't talking about sexuality well. Let's just admit it. We're not talking about it in a way that it is helpful. We're talking about it either as something that we don't talk about because it's a sin, which is not true. The Catholic Church has a very positive view on sexuality. Or we talk about it in such a permissive way, like you can't even watch a commercial in them trying to sell pots and pans without using any sexual innuendo or veiled references to it. You gotta be kidding me. And it's shocking to me that this world is surprised that Hollywood executives and movie producers and talent agencies are now being accused in the hashtag MeToo movement when Hollywood and the entertainment industry has been using sex to lure people into their world. So it's funny. We don't talk about it in a right way, in an appropriate way. And therefore, by bringing it out into the news, into the secular news, it's going to sting Catholics. It's in some cases, it's meant to hurt the credibility of the Catholic Church. But you know what? it is necessary to talk about it. It is very, very necessary. And while I am not happy about all of the ways the world is talking about it on the news cycle, and even amongst the clergy, we need to talk about it. Again, I told you at the very beginning of the show, I wanted to have a conversation with a few priests. They kind of didn't want to. And why? Because they will think that if you say anything negative about a bishop, that somehow, how should I say this? They just want to cover their you-know-whats. you don't want to get in trouble with a bishop, which is why I think this is so painful. This is all about the abuse of power. And let's just lay it out for what it is. It is the abuse of power. If you are feeling angry and frustrated, you should be. But who will we direct this anger to is the question. I mean, if you're going to start getting angry at every priest because he's wearing the Roman collar and professing and teaching the authentic, beautiful teaching of the Catholic Church and trying to live it, even if imperfectly, then you're kind of directing your anger in the wrong place. We need to be directing our anger to all of those voices that are saying it's okay to do whatever you want to do sexually, which is not the church's teaching. The church's teachings are clear. Sex is a great gift and therefore responsibility given to those committed in a relationship and marriage. Do we practice that perfectly? Heck no. We know that. We obviously know that. And the result of the clergy abuse scandal doesn't come from the teachings of the Catholic Church. Where does that activity come from? Well, the teachings of a very permissive world, a world that wants to allow you to do whatever you want to do. But as soon as you fall into that sin, they're the first to accuse you and to destroy you simply because you, quote unquote, ate that forbidden fruit. So if you are angry and frustrated, you should be, but make sure it's directed to a solution. Like in my case, when that teacher, quote unquote, accused me of asking, quote unquote, inappropriate questions during the confession, which was just basically the sixth and the ninth commandment, for God's sakes, drives me crazy just even thinking about it. You know where my anger was directed to? To that teacher. And to anyone else who was trying to cover that teacher's you know what. And so I wrote letters everywhere, you know, and I wanted to make sure it was put in writing. So we can get angry and frustrated. Let's just make sure it's directed to the right thing. And right now, we do have to call attention to our bishops and to our superiors. And yeah, to Pope Francis, you know, who responded more swiftly than in the past pontificates. You know, Cardinal McCarrick is now removed completely from public ministry. He's not allowed to say public masses anywhere. They removed the title of His Eminence, which is kind of part of the problem. I think once people get into positions of power, they start to believe that they have ultimate power, and they don't. Remember, folks, if you are in a position of authority, Jesus tells you what kind of leader you need to be. And that is to be a servant, you know? So one of the big struggles that we have in the Catholic Church is that there are many people who put bishops on a pedestal, and they might like it. They might like it. And that's why we need to stop doing that. In fact, when I used to teach seminaries in the seminary, and I still work with, you know, formation groups, and I do clergy convocations, and I do seminary and retreats and things of that nature, I tell them that the first thing that they put on when they're ordained as a deacon is an apron called a dalmatic, but it is technically an apron. That means you're a servant. And if you start to feel people putting you on a pedestal, get down immediately and wash some dishes. Sweep the floor. Scrub a toilet. And this sounds like I'm not respecting the sacred nature of the hands of the priest, but guess what? These hands of a consecrated priest are made for calluses just as much as for chalices. So I just have to... getting angry here, but I want to just make sure that all priests know that power can be abused, And that is part of the problem. When we start to believe our titles or we start to rest only in our authority, we could have kind of unbridled power and think that we can get away with things. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, I actually heard about the stories related to, at the time, Archbishop McCarrick, who was in Washington, D.C., you know, living in Baltimore. I wasn't too far away from it, but I actually heard stories about, quote-unquote, Uncle Teddy's summer camp vacations and how if you were ever invited to that, don't go. And, you know, at the time, this whole sexual abuse scandal thing, it wasn't a big deal. Remember, when in the world's history did we actually start talking about this? You know, in the 60s, there was a free love, free sex revolutionary. You could do whatever you wanted to do. And then in the 70s, it was just still as unbridled. But then something happened where the effects of that generation actually started to bear fruit. You know, people started to actually do whatever they wanted to do. And it's very unfortunate because even the church, which has to live in the midst of the world but not be of the world, our clergy could be part of that movement as well. Again, I told you that I've known priests who have abused children. And I was shocked by it just because I didn't think they could. They would do that, but they're broken. I do not excuse them. But I would like to see how if, like, for example, a bishop, if he has a priest who has abused somebody or he leaves even the allegation of abuse, they're immediately removed from ministry. Immediately. No questions asked. And that didn't happen with bishops. It seemed like they were in a kind of a little bubble of their own authority, which for me is the problem, that they had so much power, they have so much power, that they can see themselves as impervious to even an allegation. And obviously that didn't happen. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to not only just continue to unpack what happened, we're going to talk about what we need to do on this unique and hopefully helpful to give you perspective, Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. We'll be right back. I am already preparing for my travels in 2019, and I want you to be a part of it. So if you want to reserve spaces for these trips that fill up rather quickly, please visit selectinternationaltours.com or visit me at my website at fatherleofeeds.com/travel. Next year, we're going to be going to southern Italy. We're going to be going to Croatia and visit Medjugorje. We're also going to be visiting other parts of Europe, which are going to be quite exciting. And then, of course, we're making another trip to the Holy Land in October. So we'll be releasing that information soon. And for all of those premium subscribers, you're going to be the first to have a chance to get a space on these trips. Again, just go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel or visit selectinternationaltours.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, as we do a different type of show, a unique show, reviewing the clergy abuse scandals, and especially that surrounding Theodore McCarrick. And he is now required by the Pope to enter into a life of prayer and penance for what he has done. There was a report of a child abuse, you know, under 18 years old. And then, of course, some sexual inappropriate activity with seminarians, you know, any type of sexual activity outside of marriage is considered grave matter, a sin. But in this case, it was truly an abuse of power. And that's kind of where we ended, at least on this first segment. And I want to kind of talk about this in light of just perspective. Again, we're going to get angry, and you have every right to be. We cannot excuse any type of abuse, especially with power, especially since the church looks like a bunch of stupid hypocrites if we're talking about trying to remain pure in heart, and yet at the same time our leaders are doing very inappropriate, perhaps even nefarious activity that really is a problem that doesn't come from the church's teachings. It comes from not following the church's teachings. You know, there are studies out there that talk about sex abuse in different denominations, and a lot of people want to blame it on celibacy, the fact that we can't get married. But that's just not even an accurate assessment, because we know that in other religious congregations where the clergy can get married, there is just as much, and in many cases, even more abuse. In fact, is that if you want to look at a sector of society that is more guilty of sexual activity outside of marriage and children abuse, you know what it is? It's fathers. It's parents. It's uncles who are married. It's coaches. It's police officers. It's politicians. And of course, Hollywood movie producers. It's all over the place. And so if we're going to get mad, let's just get mad at the source of the voice that's teaching us lies about sexual activity not being sacred, you know? So it's kind of like a hypocritical situation, but I don't want to kind of rehash that. What I want to do is now get a little bit more practical and talk about what we need to do. And I think one of the first things we as a church need to do is we need to pray for guidance on how to discuss this. Pray for guidance in how to discuss this in a more helpful way that brings about solutions. I'll be very honest with you. I do not think that the church will be 100% pure and stain-free on this side of heaven. While I would love for that to happen, while I would love for every priest to literally be a saint, like Saint John Vianney, pure of heart, we know that weeds and wheat grow together, and it'll be God's job to sort it out between now and the time that God takes everything down and sorts the weeds from the wheat. We're going to have the struggle, which is why my first recommendation is to pray for guidance on how to discuss these topics regarding something very personal and private in a helpful way. I do not think it is appropriate to delve deeply into sexual topics at a homily. And people be like, why not? We need to hear more about it at the homily. Well, because I have 8 to 12 minutes. And depending on if you're a good preacher or not, you can really mess things up for a lot of people who are in a population that is very different in their background. I can't be talking about something so deep when I know that there are 6-year-olds there who are probably paying attention, and teenagers, and then older people, and then how about some people who aren't even Catholic who are showing up there? Why don't we just keep the homily to the scripture readings as it relates to how people can live this life better and in the direction of Christ? But then, in the homily, say, I want to discuss this topic a little bit more, and I'm going to have a forum, you know, where you have to be the appropriate age to talk about these issues. You know, we can't just talk about all of these very personal and intimate private bedroom conversation issues and topics at the pulpit and think that everyone's going to get it. In fact, it can cause more problems, which is why I think one of the ways that we need to talk about this is in more, I don't want to say academic, but in a more classroom-ish society, we need to be able to create forums for having these conversations. And so here's where I did it as a parish priest. I talked about these sexual issues at marriage preparation, because guess what? They're preparing for this commitment, which is going to be symbolized and sacramentally recognized in the conjugal act of the couple. So that was a great place to do it. I also talked about it in age-appropriate classroom settings. We talk about it there in small groups where we can invite people who have questions about this, that, and the other. You know, like just even the way we're talking about on the news, everyone is saying, oh gosh, it's a homosexual problem. No, it's not. It is a broken problem, not just related to homosexuality, but it's related to pedophile and ephebiophiles. These are psychological problems that can happen when someone's got an abuse of power, or they just have a real screwed up understanding of what sexuality is, including some bishops and priests. In this case, it's Cardinal McCarrick. We need to talk about it appropriately, and that's why I pray for guidance. The second thing is, you know, when you cast a stone at somebody, just be very careful. I am not saying that these people should not be punished. They should. And when I say they, I'm talking about who? Members of my clergy, my brother priests, my, you know, superiors. They ought to be punished just like a priest would be punished, even if he's just, if there's an allegation. I got to tell you that I've actually met other priests who have been, there have been allegations against him. His life is ruined, even though the findings did not corroborate with the accusation. So he's a priest in good standing, but his life is ruined. Why? Because in a way, the bishop has abandoned him. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, thankfully, I'm never going to ever be a bishop. Who knows? But at the same time, I don't aspire to it, as a matter of fact, just to bring some levity to it. When I talked to a priest friend of mine about my whole cooking show and the whole movement of food and faith, I said, what did you think about this? And he said, well, you know, Leo, it's a great idea. It's really a great, we need priests to show that we're human. We need shows to show how to bring families together. We need to show how priests are part of people's families. It really is a great idea. It will ruin any chance of you becoming a bishop, but it's a great idea. And that was my sign, you know, who wants to be a bishop, especially in today's world? It's, I pray for them, you know. And when I was talking to another priest about how some bishops have handled clergy abuse allegations, it would be awesome if a bishop did a press conference, pulled the priest right next to him and said, this man is accused of horrible things, and I am going to not stand in the way so that the investigation can continue and justice will be served. And if this priest has to do time in prison and penance for his activities that were contrary not only to the church's teaching but to his very promises, then so be it. But I will also be a spiritual father to him. I will also stand by him to make sure he knows that he's not going to deal with these problems alone, that I will continue to love him and I will pray for him, because that's the promise that I made as a bishop to my priest, even the quote-unquote bad ones and sinful ones and sexually deviant ones. Wow. That would be pretty awesome. So when we cast the first stone, we kind of have to do it the way Jesus does it, and he didn't do it. He called the sin out for what it was, he offered forgiveness, and then he just simply said, sin no more. Fact is, all of us have messed up in our lives, all of us. Some more than others, and some on a larger kind of media platform than others. And I know that there are many bishops who are afraid of priests who are doing a lot of work with media, because we create, in a sense, a little bit of a popularity. I mean, I'll admit that I am very aware of the quote-unquote popularity that people may have towards media-oriented priests. Which means we, if you are in a position of authority, or if in a position that can reach, you know, more people, or even if you're a pastor in charge of a church with like 500 families, we are still in a position where we can create grave scandal. So, well, I love what a lot of Catholic priests are doing. They're speaking out against all of this and trying to hold their bishops accountable. But we have to make sure that we do it in a way that leads to more solutions. You know, another thing we need to do is follow what the churches teach. Churches' teachings are in regards to this. You know, we believe 100% that any sexual activity outside of marriage would be sinful and inappropriate. Do we know that it happens? Yes. But that we did it outside of marriage isn't because of the church's teachings. It's because we're believing other people's teachings. And that's why I said, once again, let's direct our anger to those voices that are promoting teachings regarding sexuality that is not helpful, that is not healthy, that is not holy. Plain and simple. We lived in a very confused generation, and there are even more confused when it comes to sexual topics. And so this is what I'm just encouraging you to do in this part of the show. You know, what we did was we just kind of talked about what happened, and here's what we now need to do. We need to pray for guidance on how to discuss this. We need to be careful that we are not harming the dignity of the person more because they've harmed their own dignity enough. You don't want to kick anyone while they're down. We just want to make sure that they know why they have fallen and do what we can to help that person up. Remember, the greatest sinners have the potential to become the greatest saints by simply converting their life more to God. So I'm not losing hope in the Catholic Church, and I haven't lost hope even in Cardinal McCarrick that he can do the right thing. He did something nasty, and he needs to face, you know, the judge, not just the one dressed in black, but the one dressed in eternal light. And I just pray that he, because I'm not going to cast a stone at his person, I'm going to cast a stone at his activities. I just pray that he becomes a saint out of all of this. And I know that you're probably going to think, I can't believe Father Leo just said that Cardinal McCarrick, he should become a saint. He's not. But the greatest sinner has the power through God's mercy and grace to become the greatest saint. I mean, I just take a look at the quote-unquote Mary Magdalene theme slash image. We don't know if she was the quote-unquote prostitute in the Bible. We just know that from her, seven demons were cast out. And she became the first person to touch the resurrected Lord and to see the resurrected Lord. In other words, there is hope even for the most pathetic, wretched, disgusting person, including that religion teacher who quote-unquote accused me of asking inappropriate questions. I'm going to pray for that person too. I was going to say other words, but then that would be me casting a stone that harms the dignity of even the sinner. Even the sinner has quote unquote dignity because they are made in the image and likeness of God. What they've done is nothing godly at all. In fact, they were following the evil side of it all for sure. But we can't just start throwing stones because that doesn't always help. It just destroys, you know, the glass building that we all live in. Now, that doesn't mean that that person can't face the judge because they're going to have to. And then the third thing that I kind of recommend is just that we learn a little bit more about what the church teaches on these matters and then ask ourselves if we are doing things outside, any sexual activity outside of marriage, well then, who are we following? Because it's not the church's teachings. This is a really difficult thing, especially in a generation that is confused. But when we return, I'm going to actually share with you my personal carry-out order from all of this. More to come. I know it's a unique show, but I'm hoping it's helpful to you to try to put in perspective all that we're going through in the Catholic Church. And so my carry-out order when we return on Shoot the Shiitake. This August 21st through the 26th, I will be at the World Meeting of Families in Dublin, Ireland, speaking on several topics and even doing some cooking demonstrations, all to bring our families closer to the dinner table. So you can learn more and register at this already sold-out event, but I know they're creating even more space for the huge number of crowds just by going to worldmeeting2018.ie. The theme for this gathering, and of course with the celebration of the Holy Father on Sunday, the 26th, is called The Gospel of the Family, Joy for the World. We hope you will come out for this fantastic celebration, the Dublin, Ireland World Meeting of Families from the 21st to the 26th of August 2018, and you can learn more at worldmeeting2018.ie. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and I hope that you were able to at least digest some of that I was talking about here. I know that this is not a normal show, and we had a great show planned for this week, and I'm just going to be postponing it for next week because I wanted to at least offer a response slash perspective on what we're going through in the Catholic Church regarding the Cardinal McCarrick sexual abuse scandal, which seems to be mushrooming. And I just know that other bishops are now probably hiding from the media, and priests aren't even willing to really talk about it, and those that do might be doing it in a more accusatory way, and it might not even be helpful. And they might sound like they're just either they're undermining the position of the bishop and authority, but to be honest with you, I don't think they're doing that at all. I think they're actually trying to be a great voice, be a great leader and a shepherd for their local community who might be struggling. The fact is, sexual abuse is something that has touched every part of society. You know, when I was looking at some of the information on this, there's something called Psychology Today. And in 2010, March 24th, 2010, there was somebody who wrote, again, he's a psychologist, he's a doctor in psychology, he's not Catholic in any way. He wrote 6 myths about clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. And again, he wasn't doing it to defend the Catholic Church because he wasn't defending the Catholic Church. He was just trying to get the facts out there. And so for me, one of the great carry-out orders for me personally, and I hope for you, is get the facts. Don't just look at the headlines, because if you do, you're going to think that every priest is a sexual abuser. I remember when I was a young seminarian and I was walking around in my clerics for the first time. And let me tell you, people, Catholics, were just like, oh, great to see young priests. They didn't know I was a seminarian. It was just exciting to see, you know, someone young taking a step to follow Jesus in a very clear way. It hasn't been easy, but I just remember also coming across somebody who just literally called me a child abuser. I mean, like, didn't know who this person was. I was walking down the street. They just saw my clerics, and they just immediately called me a child abuser. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Is this what it's going to be like? Well, yeah. Remember, those who follow Christ and are in positions of authority have a bigger target on them than anything else. So what I need to do is to discern fake news with faith, you know, to make sure that my faith isn't going to be affected by all of the news. And the way we do it as faithful people is to get the facts. And so I did a ton of research prior to, you know, this particular show. And one of the articles that I came across was, again, from a therapist. He's a doctor in psychology. He wrote in Psychology Today, on March 24th, 2010, he said 6 myths. One of them is Catholic clergy aren't more likely to abuse children than any other men in general. And that's just not true. You know, I mean, the fact is clergy abuse happens across the board. One other myth is about celibacy leading to sexual abuse. Again, that's not true. That clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church can't be blamed on homosexuality. You know, the fact is, homosexuality is not a risk for crime. Sexual orientation is not a risk for crime. So these are just these kind of myths that need to kind of be talked about, that clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church can't be blamed on an all-male clergy. You know, the fact is, there are clergy women who have abused as well. So it's not a man thing. So this article, and I just recommend that you look it up. I'm not going to read it for you. You can read it on your own. It's 6 myths about clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church by a psychologist on March 24th, 2010. That's my carryout order number one, to get the facts. Just to get the facts. I think that's one of the reasons why I think many priests are afraid to talk about it, because they don't know all the facts surrounding it. But that's not the point of this show. I can't just tell you what the facts are. I'm still looking at it myself. But I know that before I start speaking about it, I have to at least know what I'm talking about to a degree. So getting the facts and making sure that faith is not influenced by fake news. The other thing I need to do is to create more opportunities to discuss these issues more appropriately. I talked about it before. You know, what you need to do is pray for guidance on how to discuss this, especially with your family around the dinner table, or at least after your dinner table, and talking about it with your children as they grow up, develop mentally. Like what you're going to tell your 17-year-old boy is going to be very different from when you tell your 6-year-old daughter. You can't have them in the same room talking about these topics. It'll just kind of freak everybody out. Not helpful. So just learn and pray about how you're going to talk about it. But for me as a priest, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to put together some talks that I can do specifically for lay people. I do talk about it with clergy convocations and you know, seminary and retreats. I do have talk specifically geared towards this issue, but I may need to do more of it on a future Shoot the Shiitake show, you know? So let's consider that. The other thing that I need to do is to encourage other priests to speak out about it, especially those who I know who may have suffered at the hands of an abuse of power. I didn't say sexual, but just abuse of power. I guess it's kind of tough. But I just know that there are some bishops who can be pretty mean-spirited and they can use their power to demean other priests. I respect all of the bishops for sure. I honor you and I pray for you. But I just need to encourage my brother priests as well who might have experienced some of these struggles to be able to talk about it in the appropriate way. And that's really hard. It would be just as difficult as like a son to correct his father. That's the struggle. We're not talking about it in a helpful way just because there is this power struggle. The role of the bishop is an authority figure. And look, I don't want to mess with it. But how do you kind of approach a bishop if they're doing something wrong? You know, like how do you do that? Well, that's kind of what I'm feeling that I need to do. But at the same time, I have to recognize the good that they have done. You know, just because one bishop did this bad thing, it doesn't mean that all the good work that they've done is now undermined. A lot of people will think that, but that's technically just, you know, confusing the parts with the whole. And that's actually a philosophical fallacy. You know, you kind of look at that person and you only evaluate them by the wrong that they've done, and you don't recognize the good that they've done. And as clergy, we can sometimes do that. So what I've got to do is just make sure that I'm praying about this more, that I'm getting the facts, that I'm going to create opportunities for more discussions, which is why I'm inviting you. If you have questions or topics that you would like for me to discuss, and maybe I can make that a premium content thing, you know, or just available to buy these talks online, just go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com. Or you can just simply ask me any questions, and my email is easy. I can't always answer everything immediately, but I will get to it because there's no greater feeling than emptying out your inbox. Oh my gosh, that is like the greatest feeling, and it hardly ever gets that way for me. But you can ask me anything at fatherleo@fatherleofeeds.com. And then finally, my final carryout order, besides praying more for church leaders, getting the facts, creating opportunities to discuss these issues more appropriately, it's to encourage other brother priests, other brother clergy, other colleagues of mine, whether they're women or men in religious positions. Even the nuns are kind of speaking out now. To encourage them to make sure that we are doing what we can to support the bishop, holding them accountable, but also just being honest with them, saying if you see something wrong, don't be afraid of their authority. Just I just know that the role of power and authority, it can be abused. And I look at what Jesus says, the greatest among you must be your greatest servant. And I think my final carryout order is, I hope I take my own advice. It is not easy to be a priest in this world. But I got to tell you, I love it. You know, over the summers and even throughout the year, I'm a speaker at different youth conferences and youth festivals. And while there is so much to be sad about in the Catholic Church, at some of the talks, I'll do a vocation call, which is encouraging young men to consider the priesthood, and young women to consider religious life as a sister or a consecrated virgin. And I'm like literally moved to tears every time when I see hundreds of young men come down to the stage to receive a blessing because they're willing to discern the priesthood. As much bull shiitake as there is in this world, as much as we have faithed things up, you know what I'm talking about, you know, unfaithed things up, really. We just screw things up. Oh, gosh. There's such hope in the church. And I want to make sure that while we work and focus on the things that are evil and try to root it out, that we don't confuse the parts with the whole and we don't see all the good that is being done. Where literally thousands of young people are giving their lives to Christ, that thousands of young people are literally going to confession and getting reunited to God, that there were thousands of people praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which is the Eucharist for any of my non-Catholic listeners, just praying in front of the holiness of God in the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. And then, of course, just the singing and the praying and just the fraternity and this type of familiarity that people have just because we're in the Catholic Church, there is way more good than evil. We just have to look for that, not just in our church, but in our own hearts and minds as well. So look for that good of God in our lives, and I hope that this Shoot the Shiitake was at least helpful to you, and I can't thank you enough for being a member and a supporter and a subscriber. And also, please share this with other family members and friends and faithful parishioners and even your parish priest. Hopefully this perspective can at least be helpful and trying to deal with all that we're going through. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, thank you for listening and stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and a special shout out and thank you to all of our premium members and subscribers, those who donate $10 or more each month to help keep this movement going so that we can have better conversation that will lead to conversion. So don't forget to share, to subscribe, and to support us. And you can learn more at FatherLeoFeeds.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.